It's good to be back. You know, as much as I love California, where I grew up and, you know, got to surf a little bit and find out how old I am, and but just outdoors, and but my heart longed to be home with my church family and my own family, so it's good to be home. We're in a series called The Images of the Church, and I just am grateful for those that have preceded me in this. Pastor Kevin Phillips just preached on army. Jill helped us understand. And by the way, Images of the Church, I should back up a little bit and say, God has really put on our church's heart this last and previous year, looking at what it means to be made in His image as people. And so it just seemed natural and good for us to understand what it means for the church be made in God's image. What images did Jesus and His apostles give us to understand the church? Because these pictures go beyond just words, black and white words, and these pictures help us wrestle and think, what does that mean for me to be part of this picture, this thing called the church? And so we looked at the church being an army, and then Jill helped us look at the church being a flock with Jesus as the shepherd. And then last Sunday, Sarah helped us understand the church as branches connected to the vine. And so I won't try and even recapture those. Be sure to listen to these things, because it's about us. And it's good for us to, and you can get CDs, you can go online and listen to them on your MP3 players or computer. And so much of what the way we are wired up in this modern day culture is very individualistic, you know, just meaning, and it's not that it's bad unless that becomes the only way you understand and view life, is just what it means to you, what you get out of it, what you put into it. But there's sometimes it's good for us to pause and say, we have a corporate identity, and it's God's church, and so we want to understand what that means. And so we're going to be looking this morning at what it means for the church to be a body, you know, like a human body. And it's kind of an interesting one, and it's used all over the New Testament, but we're just going to anchor in two passages this morning to understand a little bit of what it means to be the body of Christ. So on that note, let's stop and pray and ask our hearts and ears to hear. So our Father in heaven, man, walking with you is so rich. And you just then took that to a whole nother level, and you sent Jesus Christ to walk with us, and then He said, follow me. And it got real personal, got real powerful. And Jesus, we want to understand what it means to be your body here on earth, the representation somehow of God's people in a world that needs the church, God. We don't want to be ones that isolate and hide out or compromise and become no different. We want to be your body. And so this morning, help us understand by your Spirit these things. Help me find words to try and capture this picture that the Apostle Paul gave us in his letters. Thank you that your Spirit inspired that picture in him for us to understand. And we pray these things in a way that we want to be different. We want to be changed. We're not afraid of challenge. We want encouragement. We want all that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's going to be three things, ingredients, supplements that we want to have to be healthy bodies this morning. And the first one is, a healthy body needs you. All right? So let's look at 1 Corinthians, and it's kind of way of introduction. We can't read the whole chapter as much as I'd want to, but before we get into our first thought of a healthy body needs you, I want us to just look at a couple verses here. And I should say, as way of context, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and it's a church in the Roman region. Not Rome itself, but the church, though young, and is just so alive and excited about who God is and His Spirit and the gifts He gives to the church, and they're operating and all these things. But the sad part of this is that they started creating division and separation within the church, and this is not a healthy thing over some of these issues of what does it mean, you know, to be spirit-filled and the gifts. This morning is not a morning about the spiritual gifts, so you'll hear about that maybe some of them, but that's not the point. The point is, what does it mean for us to be his body? But it's based around this idea of, man, it is really fun being filled with God's Spirit and following Jesus Christ and being used by God, serving in the church. But we got to do this in a way that we remain a body. So in light of that, in the light of there seems to be some division, some conflict, some pride, things like this, Paul speaks into this. And so let's just look at verse 7 in chapter 12. He just begins simply by saying, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so in this, the gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit, just kind of meaning that the Spirit wants to work outwardly through you in the church. Can you see the Spirit? No, except when he becomes visible through you to others. And we want that. We want that. And in verse 7, he's also talking about to do that, he being the Holy Spirit's going to give you a gift that's going to be really good for the church. So it's really good. And he's going to give this gift to you, and sometimes more than one gift, to be used in the church. Tracking with me so far? And he gives us at least one of these gifts and sometimes more. Now let's jump down to verse 11. All these things, and he goes through the listing of, he starts talking about many of the different kinds of gifts, we all have the same Spirit. Some have gifts of healing, some gifts of faith, some gifts of tongues, sometimes utterance of knowledge, sometimes utterance of wisdom, prophecy, you know, and all these kind of cool things, okay? So he goes through a list. And by the way, there's more gifts and different ones like administration and things like this, which you think, oh, that's working, you know, that's like, how's that spiritual? It is when God's a part of it. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gifts, but he's not giving a comprehensive list. So when you read that, there's even more. And there's more listed in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. And even those aren't meant to be comprehensive lists. It's just saying, man, there's ways the Holy Spirit's working in each one of us uniquely and individually for us to use our gifts. So now verse 11, it says at the end of that section, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So we all have our gifts empowered by the same Spirit. So whether we come to church with some particular talent or gift or receive the ability to do something we've never even been able to do before, because you might say, well, I got this talent. Well, when you become God's, his Spirit comes in that and amplifies it, empowers it, you know, to even do more than you could without him. So he alone, did you catch this? He alone, meaning the Spirit, decides what gifts he's going to give to you and me. He knows what the church needs and what gift is exactly right for us at any particular time. It's all his. So why is Paul telling us this? Because it seems there's jealousy and pride over the gifts the various members of the church have or don't have. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit. So what gives the church unity in the midst of diversity is who? The Holy Spirit, according to this. Let me say that again. What gives the church unity, Paul's trying to drive home very strongly, is the Holy Spirit in the midst of our diversity, which is a very good thing. So even when we seem at odds, we have to remember it's not because the Spirit's in conflict with himself. Sometimes church is going, well, the Spirit's doing this, while the Spirit's saying that, as if the Spirit, there's different spirits. That's his point. There's only one Spirit. So there can't be conflict when we're really in tune with him, right? He's using this diversity in the body to build it up and make it stronger. And so it's like Christmas time, isn't it? Sometimes you remember as, we'll say a kid, because you wouldn't do that now, but at Christmas time, you open the presents, you know, that you're being given, the gifts, and then and you're really happy with what you see, and then you see what someone else got, and you start comparing your gift to their gift, and you're going, well, I didn't want a sweater. I wanted a toy, you know, and until it's really cold, and then you're glad you have that sweater, right? And so we need to be grateful. First of all, you know, trust the Holy Spirit, and second, be thankful for the gift he's given you, and remember that it's for the good of others. Your gift actually is not just for you. It's meant to be used for others. Think of Lord of the Rings, and Diana needs to, she just loves any time I use the Lord of the Rings illustration. And by the way, if you have never seen it, shame on you. This is the only time I'll shame you. And and borrow it from us. We'll give you the whole set to watch. But Lord of the Rings, when the elves are going to face an impossible task, the elf queen gave Frodo and each of the companions gifts to be used for the benefit of the circle, you know, or the whole group of them. And so Sam, you know, he got rope. And he could have said, oh, man, I don't want rope. I want a really cool elfin bow and arrows like Legolas got. But you know what? That piece of rope saved him and Frodo's life. It wasn't a bad thing, it turned out, to have this rope. So you just, you know, that's kind of what it's like. Or if you haven't read that and you love reading your kids' stuff, read your kids The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Father Christmas shows up, right? And he gives all the children, Lucy and her brothers and sisters, gifts, and she got a vial with healing oil, you know, while other people got, you know, just really cool stuff and weapons, but she got to use that at critical times to heal people. So think of your gift as that way. It's meant for the use of others, and it's special, and it would just be perfect and needed in the way God wants to use it. Sound good? So, first question for you this morning is just, have you discovered your gift? Have you discovered your gift? Because you have one, and you're a part of the body of Christ, whether you participate or not, but have you discovered your gift? So now let's jump into this first thought of a healthy body needs you. And so what's going to happen here is that Paul's going to address the things that keep us from having a healthy body as a church. And he wants first to understand that for the church body to be healthy, we need you. We need you. And what would get in the way of that? Well, let's pick up with verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So all believers are baptized in the Holy Spirit and made a part of the body of Christ. And so you just need to understand that. There, it's not, you know, if you're a believer, you believe because the Holy Spirit enabled you to do that. And you are baptized in the Spirit. And I need to emphasize that because sometimes there's some goofy thinking out there that there's Christians with the Holy Spirit who aren't baptized in the Spirit. And we can't go deep into this, but Paul's making it very clear. He said, how many? All are baptized in the one body. And he's saying that because that was probably part of the language coming out as, you know, well, I'm more spiritual than you are and da-da-da and stuff like that, and I have this gift and you don't and things like that. And you need to understand, we all are baptized, so you can just take that worry off your heart. That's good news. Now, there are other things which we're not getting into this morning about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, but this morning we're looking at what this means. So there's a temptation, and what's happening with the church is there's a temptation to get our identity strongly wrapped up with our spiritual gifting. It's not that our identity doesn't get connected to it, because ultimately who we are and what we do should mesh and be the same thing. But if it gets too strongly wrapped up in that, that's where we get in trouble. When this happens, it hurts the harmony of the body of Christ. I mean, the body which belongs to Christ, for there to be health and wholeness of the body, we need to resist those temptations in the power of the same Spirit who gave us the gift. Amen? So, Paul's going to help us do that, starting with verses 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. So in other words, the diversity is not a problem, but it's a necessity of the body. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. The foot is saying, basically, I'm insignificant. You know, it's the believer who's going, oh, I don't have an amazing gift. I'm not worthy, you know, to even be a part of the body of this church. And it keeps them from experiencing the joy of using the gift the Spirit gave them in the church, from being healthy. And so there's what happens is that, what is that? Just at the base of what it is. What kind of words are those? Words of comparison. We start comparing who we are, our gifts, to others, and we don't feel worthy. Or it's a person saying, I'm not qualified, or my gift's not important, or I'm not good enough. That has to be broken. We are not dependent on each other. We are interdependent on each other. We all need one another. And the foot might prefer to be the hand, according to what he's saying. This, you know, that's the foot saying, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That would, you know, that doesn't make you any less a part of the body. It just means you're not being plugged in. And it goes on to say, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. There it is again. That person that's holding back. That would not make it any less a part of the body. So it's the foot might prefer to be the hand, but could you imagine if you had a foot on the end of your wrist, you know, but we can't devalue ourselves because, you know, we're a foot that doesn't seem so valuable and important. And the cool thing about the analogy is I don't even have to make up a silly illustration about it, because one of friends, and she's a leader in another church, Hope told a story, and I'll probably butcher it, but it was just a great story of how when she came to her church, and she was deciding, you know, whether she fits in and belongs. She felt God calling her to the church, and she asked God, you know, where do I fit in this church? And God told her, you're a toe. And she's like, a toe? I don't want to be a toe. Who wants to be a toe, really? You know, why would I be a toe? And the Lord told her, the toe helps bring balance to the rest of the body. All son, it's cool to be a toe. I want to be a toe. You know, it's kind of like, you know, so do you see how, like, you know, all son, you know, the way God does stuff is just most cool. So another question, do you feel you have nothing important to offer God in your service? Do you feel you have nothing important to offer? You do. You know, there are actually useless body parts. I mean, you know, you've all heard about the appendix, right? You know, kind of like, well, but Paul's interesting, doesn't go with internal organs. So do you know what external body part is a useless body part? We can't figure it out. Yeah. I'm glad you did away with yours, brother. The eyebrows. You know, it's like And there's actually debates by scientists over eyebrows. You know, in one camp, scientists believe that the eyebrows keep sweat and rain off your eyes, right? But Lieberman favors the hypothesis that eyebrows serve to communicate your emotions, but they may also communicate your identity. And this is interesting. A behavioral neuroscientist from Massachusetts Institute of Technology found that people were less likely to recognize pictures of celebrities without their eyebrows than without their eyes. The researchers speculate that eyebrows have remained because they are crucial to identifying faces and, listen to this, navigating social circumstances. So you may be an eyebrow. Everybody's an eyebrow, you know, kind of at first, like, oh, I'm useless, you know, it's like, but you put a face to the church. We won't recognize New Crossing Church unless you're here and you're part of it. And some of people are just great eyebrows. I was just recently, Jill and I had a new couple family over to the house, and the wife was saying, I like this church and I want to do something. Where do you need help? And I said, that's a really bad question. And then my eyebrows spoke up and said, what Craig means is that it's more important to know what your gifts are and where God's given you a passion to use that gift. See, so we all need eyebrows in our lives, you know, to kind of navigate. So, and that's what I had said. I don't know why she had to add to what I said that about that being a bad question, but she helped me navigate that social circumstance. So we must be careful not to devalue the gift of the Spirit. He chose it with great care for you, and to reject it saddens him, and not to use it hurts the church. Who you are and what you do is a gift for the body of Christ. Question. Third question for this section. Will you take courage and use your gift for the health of the body? Closing the section with the remaining passage, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Verse 17. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body. He arranged them, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So be encouraged. Take courage that there is a place for you belong. You have a gift to be used, and it will make us a healthier church. All right, the second supplement we take, I just kind of came up with that this as I got up here. So the second supplement is to be healthy, you need the rest of the body. So, you know, first I said for us to be a healthy church body, we need you, but now Paul's talking to a whole other group of people starting in verse 21. Now the perspective changes from those who don't feel qualified to participate to another kind of member of the body. Verse 21. Then he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, this is an issue of spiritual pride. And the purpose of the gift is to build one another up and not flaunt our spirituality. Whatever your gift is, because some gifts are more visible, seen by everybody. Some are in the background. Some seem quiet. Some are flamboyant and dramatic, and some seem quiet and subdued. And so what we have here is not the person who, you know, is just meek and humbled and feeling like they're of little value, to the person who is overestimating their value in the church, right? you know, there's sometimes I, you know, come across people that literally, you know, just, what church you go to? And because I'm in all kinds of situations where I get to meet people from different churches and pastors. And a couple times, you know, sometimes, or even someone visiting here, it's like, well, I belong to this church of the city, the regional church. I don't belong to any one church, as if that's something to be proud of, to boast about. But what's the problem is, what's the problem? They're really disconnected from the body. They're just, they'd be better off, what I always want to say is, oh, so you're a disconnected hand. You'd be better off in a horror movie. That's just creepy. That's kind of scary. And, you know, and I don't because my eyebrows taught me socially acceptable behavior, but that's what I want to say. And if they don't belong to the church and participate, do you know that they will not spiritually grow and the church will be robbed of their gift? There's no growth until you're attached, right? And I got to say at this point, you know, I'm really emphasizing God's given you gifts and use your gifts, but I recognize at the same time that there can be seasons where we need to rest and take a break, and that's not, Paul's not dealing with that scenario where, you know, it's not, you know, what are you doing this moment, but it's an issue of attitude. He's addressing attitudes, kind of that long-term, I'm not going to plug in, I'm better than that, I'm, you know, I'm the Christian for the nation, you know, or, you know, or, you know, or even in the church, you know, the pride gets in the way of us plugging into the church because there's things that, you know, we don't like, we disagree with. And so we hold off, you know, kind of like, I'm going to take my game ball and go home until you get things right. Then I'll play with you guys, you know, and that's just pride talking when that kind of stuff happens. So let me ask this question for this section. To be healthy, you need the rest of the body. Do you feel more spiritual or important than others? This section is very challenging to all of us, okay? I have been in that place. You know, it's and I've been on the other side too, just like, you know, like too, you know, falsely humbled, like, oh, I can't do this. And then there's other times like, I'm so awesome. And God deals with me, and you know, and because I'm His son, and you're His son and daughters, and so don't be afraid of these questions. You got to be honestly answer them. Do you feel more spiritual? All right, let's go on to verse 22, and he kind of draws some things out here. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Every one of us is indispensable. We're needed. And any of us that think our gifts, you know, are so awesome and let's give some meaningless work to the others, that's just offensive to the Spirit and it creates division. I don't have to go far for an example on this one. As Paul talks about, you know, the eye cannot say the hand. You know, forget the hand. I'd say the eye, one eye can't say to the other eye, I don't need you. You're dispensable. Because way back in junior high, I got slammed in the eye with a soccer ball in my right eye, and I have a big scar. And there's a big black hole in that vision, and it's so large that for fun sometimes I close my left eye, and the car right in front of me actually disappears. I can see things around it, and it's like, no, and I, okay, this is being recorded. No, I never do that while driving. but in other words, that eye is basically blind except for, you know, I got some peripheral vision, but you know what? If the left eye said, I don't need you, oh, yes, it does, because it gives me depth perception. And without the depth perception, I couldn't play disc golf anymore. Thank you, my wife felt sorry for me. So So when we're all working together, both eyes, and maybe you feel like, well, I'm a damaged member of the body, you're still indispensable. God's still got a place for you. Here's a really interesting thing is, do you know when I learned of this? I know when my eye got damaged, but do you know how old I was when I realized there's a big black void in my vision? It wasn't until my 30s. Why is that? Because my brain, working with these two different body parts, just filled it in and made it all work. And it's true for God and His church. Broken, unbroken, visible, invisible. We all come together and Jesus just makes it all work seamlessly. You don't even notice these things. That's awesome news, I got to tell you. So the challenge, another question here, is there any place of pride that keeps you from connecting to the body of Christ? We got to check our hearts on that. Is there any place of pride that keeps us from connecting to the body of Christ? All right, picking up with verses 23 and 24. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Pay attention to how that started. We think there are less honorable parts. God doesn't think there are, but He recognizes we're human, there's flesh, and we think some parts, are a little physically or socially awkward. The world might want to cast them aside, but what does the church do? What does the body do? Honor them. And the unpresentable parts refer to, and this is how I know Paul was not married and had an eyebrow to help him. Because do you know what he's talking about, these unpresentable parts? He's talking about the sexual parts of the body. If he had a wife, she would have gone, "Paul, honey, I think you're taking this analogy a little too far and you're going to embarrass people and there might be children in church that morning." But that's what he's talking about. Now, Craig, help us understand that. Talk more into that. Sure, I'd be happy to do that for you. What it means is we bestow greater honor. What do you do with those unmentionable, unpresentable body parts? You take special care of them, don't we? We protect them and give them extra good treatment. Bob says, "I have no idea what you're talking about." But that's how we treat all those members that we think are that way. We give them greater honor, more attention. I guess put extra clothes on them. I don't know. But that's what Paul's talking about. And in verse 25 and 26, he talks about that we are to be a connected and caring community, a connected and caring community, verses 25 and 26. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So we care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice. And so the evidence of a healthy, caring body is when the members share in the joy and the sorrows of each other. And it becomes a really beautiful thing. And we squelch that pride that makes us think we're too good for some task that God might want to give us. And I'll close just with this section with this story. I just want, cool thing, Edwards was a good friend back in the church planting days when we were a movie theater. And Edward was vice president of Trek International. He was big guns, in Trek and working, international companies, managers, employees under him. And he plugged in, and it's one day while he was crushing me in ping pong, he was says, hey, I like to help out and stuff. And I said, Edward, you know, and so here he is, vice president, you know, and with all that goes along, benefits that go along with that. Well, what is it you like to do? And he's going, well, I like to work with junior hires. That I didn't hear right. You what? Have you ever met a junior hire, Edward? No, he had. He just loved those kids, those boys and girls in that age range. And man, they're crazy. They're bouncing off the walls. And I respect anyone that loves and wants to minister to junior hires. And I just thought, how cool was that? And he did that the whole time he was with us until he got moved out of state. And so last question for the section is, will you, and this is key, will you humble yourself and care for others? That's what this gift does, is care for others. All right. Third supplement in the section this morning. A healthy body grows strong in Christ's love and truth. A healthy body grows strong in Christ's love and truth. In one last section now, Ephesians 2 verses, chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. Let's read it. By the way, we're about to make a transition. Paul's going to take this analogy a little further. Up to this point, he's just talked about the body. And in the previous, in Corinthians, Paul talked about even the head being one of the members of the body. And now we're going to find out that Jesus Christ ultimately is the head of the body, the head of the church. And he says that in this passage and other places in Ephesians. 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So it begins, two times love is mentioned in verse 15, we're to speak the truth in love, and this will help us grow. It's not just a church, hey, we just love each other, because then we lose a hold of truth, which we're seeing happening in many of the mainline churches. But at the same time, we can't just be a church of truth, because then truth becomes harsh and hurtful. And so he's saying we speak the truth in love in a way that's going to do what? It's going to build us up. We're going to grow up into the likeness of Christ. So the question for this section is, are you connected to the body and growing up into your likeness of Christ and who he is in truth and love? Because Christ himself is the head according to this. He leads the church. And as the Proverbs say, you know, says, in our hearts we make our plans, but Christ directs our steps. In other words, we take our lead from Christ in these things. Christ is the source of our spiritual nourishment. Did you catch that? The body is nourished by the head. Christ is both truth and love itself. We trust and rely on him. And I love an interview of Dallas Willard. He's a great writer. He was a philosophical professor who wrote books like The Spirit of Disciplines, Hearing God, must read books. And he was asked, because Dallas Willard really liked to face the challenges of the church and spent much of his life addressing the problems of why the church isn't raising up people who look like Christ. Why is that happening? There may be a growing attendance of churches, but is there a growing number of people who look like Christ? And he tried to address that problem. And I like, at the end of a two-hour interview, he was asked a real pointed question, which was, when you look at how off track the church is, do you ever just throw up your hands in despair? Willard smiled and said, never. And the interviewer was like, well, but how? Why not? because, he said, I know Christ is the head of the church, and he knows what he's doing. We can trust him. Every part needs to be working properly, and when it does, it builds the rest of the body up in love. And sometimes it can be tricky to know what that means for it to work properly. Sometimes, like Paul was saying to the Corinthians, sometimes I think we prevent people because they don't look like a likely candidate to be a member in the church. And this is my closing story. I think sometimes stories like pictures capture 1,000 words. And so when we talk about a healthy body grows strong in Christ, love, and truth, and that we operate, the church is healthy when every part is operating properly, is the story of my brother Bob Meyer in our church. And Bob, years ago, had a severe stroke, and the doctors weren't sure if he would even live, certainly ever function properly as a human being. And God saved his life, and God brought him back. And though Bob had limited abilities when he came back to church, he was no less a member of the body of this church. Now, here's where the story gets really cool. Now, a stroke is when your brain bleeds and usually damages the brain. So he's got a damaged brain. And Bob wants to do what? He wants to teach a Bible study and lead a life group with a stroke. Well, we knew there's no way in heaven he's ever going to do that here. No. What's cool is the small group ministry team said, okay, and gave him the opportunity. And I love Bob. I love you so much. And it's like, two things. I wanted to be a part of it. Also, I wanted to be there just to be a help, a support in any way I can. And he did a Bible study on 1 Samuel. And he looked at the challenges David, who before he was a king, was facing. Giants he was facing. And I want to tell you something. I was blown away by the things he taught, and they were things I needed to hear. And I had preached through 1 Samuel, but Bob was giving me new insights to the things that was going on deep inside of David and in some of these battles, and they were things I needed to hear. And all of us in that life group were blessed because he was using his gift when, by all natural circumstances or looking at things with only worldly eyes, say, well, there's no place for him now because he's, you know, one of the broken members of the body, and we'll sideline him. No way. So let's do this together. Let's figure out what our gifts are. And I'll close with that question. Last question. How are you building up others in love? It's got to be love. I invite the worship team to come up, and a connecting few verses here, 7 verses I want to read, and then I want to pray for you concerning this love. It's not by coincidence as Paul in 1 Corinthians addresses division that's happening in the church because of the different members of the body and their giftings. So at the end of chapter 12, what does Paul do next? He cites a poem on love. And it's to remind us that in all that we do, in truth, in gifts, and in the church, are all done in love in a way that builds up the church. So listen to this, and then I want to pray for us. 1 Corinthians 13. It's just a beautiful way to close this message on the church is the body. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Let's pray. It is a wondrous thing that Jesus, you came. And because you came, Son of God, part of the Trinity, representing the Father in heaven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we trust you. We believe in you. We follow you. We need you to nourish this church body. We need you to speak into our hearts the words that build up and give life to others. We need you to speak your love and let it be demonstrated through our giftings in a way that heals broken, hurting people. Lord, we want the body to be the place where the world can come into and know they belong, and that there is purpose. If nothing else, Lord, this picture you gave to Paul, to us, is a picture that it's not just saved, but it that we have a meaning and purpose in this life on earth that is outside of ourselves, and we need that. We need to be gifted for the sake of others. We need to be other focused. We need to live in a way that takes the church further than it would if we were not here. And Lord, it's everything. It's a greeter in the morning. Lord, and by the way, I just want to pause, Lord, and I want to thank you for the parents who have the gift of greeting, and they're plugging in their children and have a beautiful middle schooler this morning smile and give me a sermon outline. I could have just gone home and been blessed for the rest of the day by that. And Lord, that's what we're wanting. There is no gift greater than the other. We are all needed in New Crossing Church. And Lord, I thank you because this church is exhibiting these things in the body, the people that are plugged in, and those that aren't, let them know there's a place for them. And let us answer these questions for ourselves so that we can experience the vision you've given this church of wanting to be followers of Christ who are fully alive, growing in love with God, entering into meaningful relationships with each other, and blessing others through our service, Lord. This passage is capturing that vision, and we want to say amen to that you've given us, and be a part of it. And everyone said, amen.